take my coat off here. A little bit toasty. See, that's what happens when you worship and praise a little bit. You get a little warm. I'm telling you, if you ever want to lose a little bit of weight, maybe I should take this advice myself, because God knows I need to lose a bit of weight. You don't have to worry about doing all these exercises all the time. If you just come to the house of God and worship with all your might, like the Bible says, amen, we'd probably all look a little better. Amen. Amen, amen. Playing around there, but it's true. We need to come to the house of God with a mind and heart to worship. Praise the Lord. Good atmosphere of the Lord of praise in this place today. Wonderful playing, singing, and worship unto our God. We do this for the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm glad you are here with us today. And as always, I am very glad that He is here with us today. Amen, amen. I'm going to jump on in here. If you got your word with you, got the Bible with you, you can turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. 1 Kings, chapter 18. I'm just going to preach today. How's that? Sounds good, Pastor. Good job. I'm just going to lay it out in Jesus' name. 1 Kings, chapter 18. We'll read a few verses of scripture there, and this is the NCV version. If it's different from yours, I apologize, but it will be on the back here. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. During the third year without rain, 3 years, during the third year without rain, the Lord spoke to His word to Elijah. Go and meet King Ahab, and I will soon send rain. So Elijah went to meet Ahab. Verse 30. Then Elijah said to all the people, now come to me. It's all going to come together in a bit. He said to all the people, now come to me. So they gathered around him. And Elijah, I want you to pay attention here, Elijah rebuilt the altar of the Lord, which had been tore down. We'll read that again. Elijah rebuilt the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. The word I have for you today is, it's time to rebuild. It's time to rebuild. Sister Shelley, if you would pray for the remainder of this service and this preaching of the word. Amen, amen. You may be seated. If you're standing, it's time to rebuild. Amen. All throughout the Bible, I told you I wasn't going to give you fluff, it's just word. All throughout the Bible, we read about the construction or the constructing of, the building up of, and the using of holy altars unto the Lord. In reading the Word of God, in studying this wonderful Holy Bible, we learn of the need. We learn of the purpose. We learn of the necessity, the goodness, and the power, the reverence, if you will, that goes with an altar that is built unto the true, living, and only God. Amen. Our Savior. Again, there are altars, the mention of altars, the mention of building holy altars unto the Lord. These altars are found all throughout the Word of God. Now, first time you see the word mentioned, the first recording of a holy altar, and I've said this once before, The first recording of a holy altar being built unto the Lord is found in all the way back. What's the first book of the Bible? Genesis. And we see the first recording of an altar being built to God in the book of Genesis chapter 8. When Noah comes out of the ark. There's Noah. God saved Noah. Noah was faithful. Noah was loyal. And Noah built an ark. And Noah shared the word and encouraged people and all these things and was faithful in building the ark for all those years. And finally the flood comes. And the first recording of an altar being built, Noah comes out of the ark. He builds an altar and a burnt offering unto God. This altar, this burnt offering unto the Lord was received by God, and his heart, the Bible says, his heart was moved. Noah built this altar, burnt offering to the Lord upon this altar after God had saved him and his family from this tragedy. And here's Noah, he built an altar. First thing he does. He builds an altar to the Lord and it ministers to God. It moves his heart. It touched, think about that. His offering from a built altar touched God's heart. Amen. It was in that moment God sent a blessing to Noah. You think about this. Yes, God blessed Noah. God saved Noah and his family. But after he had built that altar and poured out an offering upon the altar unto the Lord, and it moved God's heart. It touched God's heart. It caused God to react because he received it in a good way. And at that moment, God sent a blessing to Noah and a promise and a covenant to all of humanity and to all the entire earth. Child of God, to me, when I think about that, to me, that alone, that first altar being built unto God and God's response speaks volumes of how wonderful, how powerful, how moving and holy an altar unto the Lord truly is. Are you with me? Amen. It truly speaks a lot. Now, it was after that first recording. After that first recording altar where altars were regularly. They were regularly. After that was received of God. God blessed it. God ordained it. After that moment, altars were regularly used, accepted, and ordained by and only for the use of the true and living God, and it was used to glorify him. That was the purpose of a holy altar. These holy altars that were built from that time on to the Lord, these altars unto God were used for and known as a place of sacrifice. They were used as and known as a place of worship. A place, are you with me? Come on now. A place of praise, a place of offering, and a place of prayers. Not only was it known for worship and sacrifice and a place of prayers and of offerings unto the Lord. Not only was it that, but they were known and to be a place. Not only of that, but a place of safety, a place where you can find safety was at the altar. Well, oh, I can tell you scripture about that, where they were fleeing for their lives, and where did they go? They didn't go somewhere to hide, but these particular people, they went to an altar, amen. And it was known to be, yes, a place of offering. Yes, a place of worship and praise and prayer. But it was a place of refuge. A place of hope. A place where God moved. Where God communicated time and time again. A place where God ministered to them as they lifted up and built up altars unto the Lord. Amen. God communicated and ministered at the altar. Sins were laid down. Oh, come on, somebody. Why do we go to the altar? Because sins were laid down at an altar. Provisions were given. Blessings and provisions were given at an altar. Amen. Peace was given and received by the altar builder at a holy altar unto the Lord. Plagues were stopped. Plagues were stopped from hindering the protection or the people, and protection was given from an altar. Genuine, heartfelt, from deep within, genuine heartfelt praise and worship that satisfied and literally moved the heart of God, ascended from and upon the altar. Ascended to God from a holy altar. Child of God, I want you to hear me today. In this dark world, I don't have to paint a deep picture for you. You already know that the world we are living in right now is so corrupt. And in living in this dark, discouraging, it is so discouraging, evil, unholy, sin-sick, spiritual, dry, unsatisfying, cruel, and harsh world that we are currently living in today. With all the hate, there's hate everywhere you look. With all the hate, with all the backbiting, with all the bitterness, the strife, the sorrow that this world gives and produces to even us. With all the trials, the tests, the storms, the pain, the confusion that is in our children and our grandchildren. With all the disunity and trouble of every kind all around us. I tell you today that now more than ever before, there must be a people, a church that will spiritually stay. You know what? The world's dark. The world's depressing. The world's hard. The world's horrible. The world's evil. But you know what? I'm going to stand for God and I'm going to be an altar builder. I'm going to build spiritual altars unto the living God, for He's God. He's good. He's holy. He's worthy. And I will glorify Him. Oh, somebody say amen. Amen. There needs to be, again, a church and a people that will spiritually build holy altars unto the Lord. Amen. What are you talking about, Pastor? What do you mean, build altars unto the Lord? Are you telling us to truly, physically go get some stones and go find some rocks that haven't been cut and go use the earth and go get some stones like they did and lay out an altar? Are you really telling us to get some stones and build altars? Are you telling me that, preacher? No, I'm not telling you to physically go get some stones and build altars. What I'm telling you is no matter, I want you to hear me. No, I speak to myself, I speak to us all. I'm telling you this today, no matter what you are going through, no matter what you are facing, no matter what the world brings to your doorstep, no matter what comes your way, no matter what the enemy puts before you on the path to glory, regardless of how severe or the trouble may be in your life, regardless of how bad the situation may be in your life, I'm here to tell you today to put your faith, put your trust, put your hope in God alone. Spiritually, faithfully build holy altars unto the Lord. Be faithful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good when I have a bad day or not. I'm telling you to spiritually build altars unto the Lord. Be faithful in building altars of prayer. Oh, if we ever need it, the time is now. Be faithful in building altars of prayer. Be faithful in building altars of sacrifice. Sacrifice has come something in our world today that it has become a byword. It has become something negative. But I'm here to tell you today, if it wasn't for sacrifice, then we would not be saved. If it wasn't for sacrifice, we would not be filled with the presence and the spirit of a living God. Sacrifice. Be faithful in offering and building a sacrifice, a holy altar unto the Lord. Be faithful in lifting up and building up an offering of worship and praise unto the living God. Somebody say hallelujah. Build. I'm telling us all, we've got to be willing to build a holy altar unto the Lord that will rise up. An altar unto the Lord that will rise up and be pleasing and moving to God. Not an altar that moves me. Are you with me? Come on now. Not an altar that moves you. Not an altar that moves your brother or your sister. But we have got to be people of God who are willing to put in the effort to restore and to rebuild and to build up altars that are moving and pleasing and glorifying to the one we say is our Savior. Amen.
It's about him, it's not about me. It's about him, it's not about you. It's about Jesus, it's not about your neighbor. It's not about your boss. It's not about your friend at school. It's about Jesus. We've got to build altars to God. For when we decide and make up in our mind to put in the effort, it is when we build an altar and lift up our praise unto the Lord from a genuine heart, that at that moment, it is in that moment, just like Noah, it is in that moment that the heart of God is stirred and the glory of God. It is when we build altars faithfully unto the Lord that God will move in our lives. It's at that moment. The glory of God will move into our situations when we put in the effort to build holy altars unto the Lord. People of God, I believe with all my heart, I believe with everything in me right now in this moment, 2023, more than yesterday, more than last week, more than last year, more than COVID when it started, more than even the past 100 years, that we as a people of God, that we as Christians and believers, we as a people, we as a nation, we as individuals, more than ever before in our lives, we need a move of God. Amen. I'm telling you right now, more than ever before, Sister Shelley, we need a move of the Spirit. I don't need just a feel-good service. I don't need just the goosebumps of the Holy Ghost. I don't need just a social gathering. We don't need just a social gathering. We don't need just entertainment and fellowship. Fellowship's good. Fellowship's necessary. And not everything's bad. But what we need more, we don't need another pill. We don't need another doctor. We don't need another voice. What we need is the great physician. What we need is the mighty God, the everlasting Father. What we need is the Spirit of the Lord to rise up within us, because he said, you are the temple. Don't you know that you are the temple of the living God? It's time for us to build up an altar in this temple and lift up Jesus. Somebody say amen. It's time for us to build holy altars that move God. We desperately need a move of God in our world. We desperately need a move of God in our families. We need a move of God in our marriage. We need a move of God in our relationships. We need a move of God in our children. Are you with me? We need a move of God in our grandchildren's lives. We need a move of God in our unholy schools. We need a move of God at the workplace. God can move at the workplace. God can move at the school. God can move at the Walmart. We need a move of God in our city, in the area we live, in our church here at Crossroads Apostolic Ministries. I'm here to tell you today, we need a move of God in our world. Nothing else will do but a move of God. Going back, all the way back to our focused scripture. Here's Elijah. Can you put that first scripture up? During the third year, without rain, see, the people started being drawn in by people of the world. The people of the world started influencing the people of God. The people of God who once built altars unto the true living God were building altars to a false god, Baal, to the rain god, to the God who blessed the land, to the God who blessed and poured rain that would give them what they needed to live. And because of this, Elijah, being the prophet moved of God, said, there's going to be a famine. You've turned your back on God. You're building altars to Baal. You're being like those around us. Jezebel's convinced you to build altars to the false gods. And so because of that, there's going to be dryness and no rain. There's going to be famine and sorrow. And so during the third year without rain, the Lord spoke His word to Elijah. Go and meet King Ahab, and I will soon send rain. You know what's awesome? There's a lot that goes on here in a minute after that, but all he had to do, he didn't have to necessarily do everything he did, but God led him into doing it. But all he had to do is just go meet Ahab. And God promised he'd send the rain. And God, he went to Ahab, and when he saw Ahab, Ahab saw him, he said, wait a minute. What, you got some trouble for me? What do you got, Elijah? You're going to tell some bad stuff again? You're going to cause bad things to happen again? And Elijah said to Ahab, I didn't cause the bad things to happen. The altars built to the false gods allow God to cause things to happen. And so he says, here's what we're going to do. He said, there's been 3 years. There was no food in Samaria. 3 years of dry, no rain, no food. Now they're starving. Now they're troubled. Now it's even affecting the king. He said, this is what he was led to do. He said, I tell you what, let's go up to Mount Carmel. I think the Bible says there were 400 ministers of the false god Baal. He said, you bring all of them. You bring the people. And he did so. He's the king. He has authority. And they all gathered together on that high, what they call a high mountain. Beautiful scenery. Known where the rain god dwelled. The false god. And he gathered them all together. He said, take all of these prophets of Baal. All of these ministers and priests of this false god. And build or put the wood on your altars. And since there's so many of you and only one of me that serve the Lord, all the people can witness. Call upon your rain god. Call upon Baal and do what you need to do. Put the wood on the altar, but don't burn it. Don't set it on fire. Pray to your God, praise your God, and ask your God to send the rain and take care of the famine. And so all of these 400 prophets of Baal, they had their altar, and they put the wood on the altar, and they do all these things, and they begin to dance around the altar, calling on their God for rain, and they continue to do all these things, and hours go by, and nothing happens. He said, the God that answers by fire, before he said that, he said, the God that sets the altar on fire is God. And the people around said, you know what, that sounds good to us. Let's do this. And so these prophets of Baal, they begin to prance around the altar, and they begin to call on the rain god, and they begin to do all these silly things. And this goes on for hours and hours, and the people are watching. They're probably getting bored at this time, and they're watching this carry on. And it gets so bad that, you know what, Elijah, being a human, being sort of like me and probably sort of a little bit like you, Joe, he begins to mock them. Oh, where's your God at? Is he asleep? Does he rest? Is he tired? Maybe he's tired. You've been at this for several hours now. Oh, where's your God? And he starts dancing around, mocking their God. Why? Why could he do that? Because their God was not God. And so he begins to mock them, and I could see that this probably upset them. And so yet the more they start pouring out to their God, oh, answer by fire, send the rain, put the fire on the altar. You are God, Baal, oh. And they get to a point where it's so bad that they begin to cut themselves and bleed out, because life is in the blood. And they begin to bleed out, calling on their God, and nothing happens. And it's evening time now. And so finally Elijah says, all right, you had your chance. I'm sure the people were bored. They probably went and got lunch and come back and realized nothing happened, because all the people of that area were there. And so Elijah says, let's look at verse 31. He took 12 stones, one stone of each of the 12 tribes and numbers of Jacob's son. The Lord changed Jacob's name to Israel. Elijah used these stones to rebuild the altar in honor of the Lord. He rebuilt the altar. Then he dug a ditch around the altar that was big enough to hold about 3 quarts of seed. Elijah put the wood on the altar, cut the bull into pieces just as they had done, and he laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, fill these jars with water and pour it on the meat and on the wood. Then Elijah said, do it again. They did this, and he said, do it again. And they did it again. Then he said, do it a third time. And they did it the third time. So the water, they did it so much that the water ran down off of the altar and filled the ditch around the altar. It filled the ditch. And the time for the evening sacrifice it was. The prophet Elijah went near the altar. After water, it soaked in water, water around the ditch. And he said, Lord, you are the God of Abraham. You are the God of Isaac and Israel. He prayed, prove that you are the God of Israel and that I am your servant. Show these people that you commanded me to do all these things. Lord, answer my prayer so that the people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you will change their minds. Then fire fell from the Lord, came down, burning the sacrifice, the wood, even the stones and the ground around the altar. It also dried up the water in the ditches. When all the people saw this, when they seen this, when they witnessed this, they fell down to the ground, crying, the Lord is God. The Lord is God. Child of God, I want you to hear me. If your life seems troublesome, if your life seems tiresome, if you feel spiritually drained, like you are going through a spiritual famine, if it feels like the enemy, and I know it does, if it feels like the enemy is trying to hinder you or tear you down, if it feels like your life, your relationships, if he's trying to hinder your connection, your experience with the living Savior, if all of that seems dreary and dry, if you desire, I'm here to tell you today, if you desire restoration, if you desire renewal, if you desire refreshing, if you desire the fire of the Holy Ghost of God to move in your life, in your heart, in your need, in your situation, if you want heavenly rain, the windows of heaven to open up and pour down like rain in your life to fall upon you, then maybe, just maybe, you need to restore, repair, and rebuild holy altars in your life unto the Lord. Are you with me? For it is when we faithfully put in the effort, it is when we rebuild the altars that have been neglected, the altars that have been torn away, whether it be by us or the enemy. It is when we rebuild the altars that the fire of God will fall again in a mighty, wonderful, positive way, and life-giving rain will pour in and upon us and our situations and the people of this world around us, whether they be good people or unholy people. They will see and they will know that our God is God when we decide as a people, as a church, as a Christian to build some holy altars unto the Lord. The people around us will see there's something real about our God. And they will realize He is God. People of God, we must. It is a necessity. I speak to myself. We must spiritually build up holy altars. Listen to me. I'm almost done. I've got like a couple minutes here. I'm speaking to us as a church. I'm speaking to everyone here. Now is not the time for us as individuals or as people to make excuses. Oh, come on. Now is not the time for us to pout about or cry or worry about holy altars of the Lord that have been torn down or neglected. Stay with me. Now is not the time for us to pout and carry on and blame this person or that person or even the devil or brothers or sisters for the neglected, torn down altars of God. It's not time for us to do that. Now is the time for us to simply say, you know what? I'm not afraid to get my hands dirty. It's time for me to build holy altars back up. Not fuss about who tore them down. Not fuss about why they're neglected. But say, you know what? They may be tore down. They may be neglected. They may have been just left alone. But I'm going to clean them off. I'm going to build them back up. And I'm going to allow them to bless the Lord. It's time for us to build and not complain. It's time for us to build back altars. Oh, I want you to hear me. It's time for us to build back altars of great praise, not just simple praise. Oh, come on, somebody. It's time for us to say, you know what? I come to church. I raise my hand. I lift my voice a little bit. I may even clap a little bit to the beat of the song. But I'm here to tell you today, it's time for us to say, you know what? I just want to praise God. If I clap off beat, I'm going to clap off beat. But it's an altar of praise to the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord. It's time for us to get back to a place of worship greater than we are now. It's time for us to build up altars of praise and worship. It's time for us to build altars of offerings. It's time for us to build altars of sacrifice. We think we sacrifice because we come to church on Sunday for a couple hours. I'm here to tell you, our God gave it all. We can give more. And the only way we do that is by building altars of sacrifice of praise. We've got to go beyond what has become common. We've got to go beyond. I'm not saying fake. I'm not saying fake it till you make it. I'm saying do it because it's pleasing to God. We've got to be altar builders. You want your children saved? Build altars in your home. You want your husband saved? Build altars in your home. You want your wife saved? Build altars in your home. You want this world to receive God? Then build altars everywhere you go. You are the temple of the living God. Everywhere you go, you need to build an altar within yourself so that people will see Christ in you. Build holy altars. It's time for us to come back. We sing a song, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. How awesome is it that an altar of praise and worship, an offering to God, touched God's heart? We want God to touch our heart. Well, I tell you, you want God to touch your life? Build a praise, an offering of praise and worship to God. And God will pour out a blessing on you. He'll pour out a promise to you. He'll encourage you because it moves Him. When we move to worship God with our hands, with our voice, and with our actions, it moves Him to minister to us. We don't do it for that, but that's a result of our faithfulness in building holy altars to God. Sister Tracy, I'm going to come to a close here. It's time for us to be altar builders. Praisers. It's time for the true worshipers to arise. Don't be quiet on me. It's time for us to quit blaming, quit laying, and put it on the altar that we build for the Lord. I need you, God, to touch my family. But I've not restored the altars that I've allowed to get messed up. I need you, God, to save my mother, but I've neglected my altar. I have an altar, but I've not sacrificed on it in a long time. Child of God, it's time for us to put ourselves to the side, like she talked about in Sunday school, and put something else first. And what better thing to put first than God?